Hello, it's Kathy Love here. I'm a business coach who helps allied health professionals run powerful and profitable businesses in the disability sector. So no big surprise, I talk a lot. And now I can share some of the incredible people that cross my path and the interesting conversations that we have. The Private Practice Secrets podcast is all about sharing our business experiences and harnessing our collective wisdom. My guests are amazing. They're bold, brave, and they're honest. There are many laughs, and surprisingly, there's frequent talk of wine. We're sure you're really going to enjoy these unplugged private practice chats. So settle in. Let's get the conversation started. Rebecca, it's just a bit awesome to see you. It's really nice that we get to catch up like this and, I guess, record and share this conversation. How are you?
I'm fantastic, actually. I'm feeling really, really good at the moment, full of positivity and optimistic feelings about what I'm doing and about the future.
Goodness me. So I'm going to throw you the talking stick to introduce yourself and the name of your business. And I think the geography is relevant here because, dare I suggest, you're not on the mainland.
No, you want to go straight into it. Let the sledging begin. I'm sitting here in Auckland in New Zealand, and you and I met each other on our trip to Cambodia last year. So it's fantastic to be back in touch and to be collaborating on this. My business is called The Back to Work Coach, and I focus on supporting mums re-enter the workforce after having their children. So this is something that I started thinking about during our trip to Cambodia. Came home to New Zealand and sort of put the feelers out amongst mums in the community, asking them what they perceive the biggest challenges to be in terms of going back to work and what they would want in order to support them in their decisions to go back to work. And I guess the overwhelming message that I got back, and it was one that I found really moving, and every time I read the results from the survey for sort of four or five times after receiving the information, just brought me to tears, because I just had this, the women were sort of communicating that they would cope by simply taking on more.
Yeah.
That was the overwhelming message that I felt they were sharing. And it just felt so wrong to me and so sad that these women were just basically looking to see how they could cope by stretching themselves and doing more and more. And really, I think there's a better way. So that information and the power of the feelings that I had in response to that information really provided the catalyst for setting up the Back to Work Coach. And I really want to help women return to the workforce with some clear intention, not only in terms of what they want to do professionally, but intention in terms of how they can meet their own needs and how they can manage the transition to work, but also have a sustainable work-life balance. So one that makes them happy, one that suits their family, and just really meets all of their needs.
Without them having to do it all of the time.
Absolutely. So really looking at family as team and defining, how that will operate for them and their family unit, who's responsible for what, and also asking for what they need from their workplaces as well. So there's a lot of sentiment where women feel just grateful to have a job or grateful to have been offered reduced hours in some cases. And I think there is room for a little bit more from many of the organisations that are employing women returning to the workforce.
Yeah. A lot of our conversation, we talked about a lot of things when we're in Cambodia. We should probably throw some light on why we were there, but we'll do that in a tick. But I guess in thinking about you starting your new business and following you on social media now and talking with other people, and some of my clients, my business coaching clients, we're working to get their businesses in shape so that they can go on leave and come back to a self-sustaining, glowing business, was in my miniature search, there's nothing like it. It's just a set of assumptions that women will cope and do it all. But there doesn't seem to be any support, very little support, practical support, guidelines, what to read, what's reasonable to request, how to make it kind of all tick. So are you sort of finding that you're kind of carving yourself a bit of a niche here?
In some ways, like I do think there is some information available. There are, for instance, one of the books I'm reading at the moment is Drop the Ball by Tiffany Dufu. It's a fantastic book. It's the journey that she's been on and how she's learned to relinquish some of that responsibility for doing everything, for, you know, the second shift, if you like, how she's let go of, you know, the control that we often feel around how things are done within the home, and brought her partner into to being a, you know, an equal partner in terms of running their home life, yeah, as well as, you know, his professional responsibilities. So I think we are starting to see some information come through, but from what I can gather in my research, I think the Back to Work Coach is the only offering of this kind in New Zealand. I've come across another one in Australia, and I'm aware of one in the UK. So certainly it doesn't seem to be a hugely busy space, but I think, yeah, I think starting to see some more support, some more recognition of some of the challenges that working mums are facing.
Yeah. Absolutely. Let's take a sidestep and talk about what we were up to in Cambodia. It's nearly a year ago since we went.
Oh, my goodness.
And I've even forgotten how many there were. There were 10, 11 of us,
I think
nine
there
of us.
Were 10 of us and our two coach leaders.
And we jetted off to Cambodia as coaches to work with a social enterprise startup based in Phnom Penh to support women getting started and sustaining their own businesses. Mm. And we did one-on-one coaching. We visited businesses that women were running, and we presented at a conference as well. Okay. That was a big day, that conference day.
It was.
And Rebecca and I delivered about how to present and deliver a pitch on that occasion. So we had kind of a week, 10 days, 9 days together. And yeah, I was just intrigued by your background. Your background is really, really interesting and just plays beautifully to the work you do currently. But that's how our paths first crossed.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. So I study psychology at uni, did a master's degree in psychology. And I've always been just so intrigued by people and what makes them different and what makes them tick, why some people, you know, choose the path that they have. So that's always, I've always been incredibly drawn to that side of things and loved my time within the psychology department. And yet the frustration I had with that was that, you know, I was doing some really interesting research, but, you know, that kind of research appeals to just such a small section of the global population that you sort of wonder, wow, I'm working so hard, I believe in this, but how many other people are actually going to utilize this? And I started to think, gosh, what else could I do? What would have more of an immediate impact on people and give me their feedback that actually, yes, I was being really helpful or, you know, assisting people. And that's where my path crossed with a woman who was a primary school teacher. So this was overseas. I was living in Belfast in Northern Ireland at the time. And I met this teacher called Anne, and I got to go in and, you know, observe her in the classroom. And I thought, wow, this is amazing, because you're having this, you know, this immediate impact, and you can see day to day the what you can offer to these children. So I came back to New Zealand and studied as a primary school teacher, and, you know, so much value in that. Yet it's the hardest job I have ever done.
How do they do it? It is beyond me. How they do it.
And at the end of the day, I was like, oh gosh, I have other goals in my life as well. How am I going to achieve those working these hours with this kind of salary? And that's where I re-kind of imagined my career and went into psychometric assessment, which brought me back to that whole kind of trying to help people understand themselves. And then went on to work for an organisational development consultancy and had the opportunity there to do some psychometric assessment, but also to follow up with those people in terms of coaching. So it's great to be able to provide the insight to people with the assessment results, but really the true value is working with them over time to make the most of that, to put that information into play for them. So that's where I first was introduced to coaching. So it's a good 10 years ago now. Yeah, and did my coach training with Coach Hill and got accredited with the ICF. So
And since then, you've done a whole lot of other education and facilitating in all sorts of groups and conferences. Mm. Share up that a bit, because it's amazing what you've done.
Oh, I've done heaps of facilitation in the leadership and management development space, also coaching skills, emotional intelligence, you know, how to have courageous conversations. So a lot of communication-based stuff, a lot of information in terms of how you present yourself, how you conduct yourself, how you can influence others. Yeah, so really leadership, both in terms of the individual sense, but also in terms of, you know, actually leading other people. Yeah, so amazing content to be across and to have the opportunity to interact with people in that way, I just find really rewarding.
Mm. How has that information and content helped you be self-employed and run a business?
I think that combined with coaching for me is such an amazing opportunity. I love to learn. So I have a real passion around learning and sort of keeping my head or my mind open and getting across as much information and different perspective as possible. And I think being in the coaching space really challenges me to walk the talk. So I need to be being authentic. I need to be conducting myself in the way that I believe is right. And many of those ideas come through from my love of learning and being able to facilitate kind of best practice in those different areas. So, yeah, I think I've learned self-leadership skills. I think I've grown my self-awareness. I think I've come to understand the benefit of utilizing strengths, managing around weaknesses. I've learned, you know, how to have difficult conversations with people. I've learned the value of, you know, feeling the fear and doing it anyway. So I think, you know, in terms of running my own business, I'm always reflecting on the best practice that I know and then, you know, putting myself into the coachee situation and thinking, right, well, you know, I do want the best for myself. I do want to see what I'm capable of in terms of my potential. So actually, I've just got to get out there and do it. And I suppose this year, my word, sort of my mantra, if you like, is imagine. And this year I have committed to myself that I will imagine my potential, imagine what I'm capable of, and I will then set about going to achieve that. And one thing that's actually been really freeing for me is a saying that I was introduced to by Grace Lever, and that's massive imperfect action. And actually just taking a step, it doesn't have to be perfect, but it's taking you in the direction of your goal or your vision, and how powerful that is in terms of empowering you and giving you some momentum and getting some feedback in terms of if this is, you know, a good direction to be heading in. So you learn a lot. And you just have to get started. You just have to give it a go. And I wouldn't be able to do what I do unless I did that, because I'm encouraging my clients to give it a go and to do things differently. So I really have to be doing that too.
Lead by example.
Yeah.
Am I right in remembering that you have a piece of jewellery with Imagine on it?
I do.
So this is quite the visual exercise for a podcast, but I'll describe it. It's a silver ring with Imagine on it, and I can see it.
Yeah.
And I remember hearing that was going to be your word and your vibe for the year. So
yeah. I also have my light box up on my bookcase.
You do? I can see the light box.
And so it's a visual reminder every day.
Yeah.
The vision board with that front and centre as well.
Mm. Yeah. What's on my light box at the moment isn't quite as encouraging because it was a little bit linked to the end of the financial year. So I'm thinking I might actually change that when we jump off this call and, swap it. But I like those visual things. I find that they really kind of add layers to my commitment to myself and my family and my community and my clients. And, I think they're nice.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And there's something really powerful about just coming across those reminders every day. I have my vision board in my bathroom because I know I'm going to be brushing my teeth twice a day. Yeah. And so that's twice a day that I come across that. And it just keeps me really focused and really positive and optimistic too about
I wasn't anticipating this, but let's touch on vision boards.
Mm-hmm.
So what methodology or principles do you follow in building that, and when do you do it?
So This one I did for this year. So I've actually created one just for the back to work coach. In the past, I've had one that encompasses all areas of my life, but I did one really specifically for this new business. And I did that on a weekend away with a couple of other coaches. We call it our annual coaching retreat. And we go and we, you know, talk about our goals for the year, and we set ourselves up in terms of how we want to operate and touch base and, you know, support each other and that kind of thing. And so doing our vision boards was one of our activities for our weekend. And I'm very much a Google Images type girl when it comes to vision boards, because I can get exactly what I want. So it's about me imagining, you know, just letting my mind go and imagining what could be, and not editing myself. So just being, you know, just whatever I can imagine that excites me is what I look for images on. So I'll do a massive brain dump of ideas and then look for those things that really capture my imagination and really depict what it is I'm imagining and sort of feeling. So I use combinations of visuals and words, and so long as it's bright, and I always frame it. So I buy a frame from good old warehouse and use that to finish it off, because for me it needs to look really professional and clean. Yeah.
For someone who hasn't seen a vision board, it's essentially a poster with what you want to achieve or what you want to encounter or what you want to explore across the next 12 months. So it is the ultimate in cutting and pasting, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It really
sure is.
Preschool on steroids. Yeah. But there's an interesting amount of theory about it as well, and there's commentary about how you revisit it on a daily, weekly, monthly basis and how you can change it. And, you know, there's theory about how it can be divided into sections that represent different parts of your life. And I've never quite got that focused into it. But yeah, this year I did it on the 1st of January. Mm-hmm. And mine is the complete opposite. I could probably reach and find it right now. It is the most battered and bashed piece of paper. And when I couldn't find images, I did drawings, and they weren't so hot. But it travels with me, so I'm on the road a fair bit. And that just gets squidged up, and I can write and comment on it. And
Brilliant. So yours is more of a work in progress than mine.
I had it as the front page of my scrapbook because I wanted the scrapbook to document my progress towards those things or my deviation from, but that just didn't quite happen. I'm going to try it again next year, but I've got this big scrappy bit of paper with post-it notes as a bit of a midden. You know, the midden of how sort of stories and events and things layer up on top of each other. So
awesome. That sounds great. I love that.
Well, I kind of like the idea of pristine on the wall, but maybe somewhere in between.
Maybe.
I don't know. Yeah, vision board's interesting. It's something that I find people either know all about it and have been doing it religiously for years, or else there's very little awareness of it at all. It's a bit of an all or nothing kind of approach to things. So.
Yeah, I think mine, I've been doing vision boards for probably at least 10 years now. And it's just interesting to revisit those, because I haven't done one religiously every year or anything like that, but just sort of feels, you know when the time is right, you want to refresh and refocus, and you'll revisit your old one. It's amazing how many things have come to pass. And, it's really incredible and really rewarding to see that even if you're not looking at it every day or every week or every month, those things are still kind of operating in the back of your mind and you're still working towards those things often. So,
very good stuff.
I think a really good way to focus your mind and identify your goals and what's important to you. Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. So let's hear a little bit about the work you're doing at the moment. So are you running some workshops, or are you doing lots of one-on-one work with women returning to work? Tell me a little bit, what does the week kind of look like?
Well, the week for me typically looks like at least one day facilitation. So that could be coaching skills facilitation, or, you know, how to have performance and development conversations, or how to lead your team, those kinds of things. And then I'll have at least 2 days which are dedicated to one-on-one clients. So my business has been up and running since April. My first priority or objective is to work one-on-one with clients and really build up a really strong understanding of the common themes I felt like I got a reasonable handle on that through the research or the survey that I did earlier in the year. I'm sort of broadening and strengthening my understanding of some common themes and also the types of support that's commonly available within organisations too. I'm also starting to work in partnership with other organisations so we can provide value to each other and to each other's clientele. So that's where my focus has been, so facilitation, one-on-one coaching, and then sort of business development, if you like, looking at developing my social media presence and developing those relationships with strategic partners. My next step will be to approach corporates and on the back of the case studies from my one-on-one work. And then my ultimate objective is to be able to create some online learning opportunities so that I can get this information out to women from all over the world at a price point which is accessible to everyone as well. So that it's
amazing.
You know, I just want women to see how amazing they are and how the experience of having children has strengthened them instead of making them feel less able. And that's so often
apologetic.
Yes. I felt like a complete fraud the first day I walked back into the office after having a child. I felt completely transparent. Like,
I can't even remember it. I'm probably on about 90 minutes sleep or something.
I'm only thinking back like 4.5 years and I only had 5 months off. And I couldn't believe how much my confidence had degraded in that amount of time. It was just phenomenal. So I want women to understand how amazingly valuable the experience of having children is to their ability to do their professional work and the fact that they're just an amazing resource. So that's what I'd like to do, give everyone the chance to feel good about who they are and what they can offer.
Yeah. And to strengthen that understanding and appreciation and need for support from employers as
well. Totally. I can't help thinking that they're going to need to get on board that if they're going to stay viable and competitive as well. So, yeah, those organisations who see that first will be the strongest, I believe.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. So what have you learnt in a business sense since April?
I have learnt that there's no point in trying to be perfect, you know, to get it right. I have learnt that actually you just need to give it a go and ask questions and be curious and ask for help and be authentic. And people love dealing with people who are honest and true and real. And if you're passionate about something, people respond really well to that. And if you ask people for help, they're more than willing to give it. So, yeah, my biggest personal learning is that you just have to get started and try. And people don't care if you're not perfect about it or if you haven't got it polished. Because, I mean, who does?
Yeah.
It's perfect anyway.
Yep.
So, yeah, to be kinder to myself and to just find the courage and do it.
And ask, who are you building as your business tribe around you?
I have my professional supervision group. So that's one aspect of it. So we meet on a monthly basis and that's my supervision group through the ICF. I have other colleagues who are coaches. I have my accountant, my, you know, brand marketing kind of team. I'm trying to operate in my area of passion and expertise and to outsource those other things to people who love doing it and who have something to offer in terms of insights or value. So, you know, people that I can learn from. And it keeps it so much more fun. You know, that's the thing that I've probably, one of the things I've appreciated so much about getting really clear on my niche is how much fun it is and how much easier it is to run a business when you love it, when it feels like it's part of you, and when you can focus on doing the stuff that you love and you've got other people around you to support you in the areas that aren't your strengths and your interests.
Totally with you. Whilst I'm really interested in brand management and marketing and sales and things, there's people who do that so much better and with so much more love than I do. I'm better serving my talents in other areas.
Absolutely.
And it makes the world go round by investing in other people and having other people advising you.
Yeah. I mean, if we expect people to come to us and employ our services, we need to also employ other people's. So I absolutely agree with that. The other benefit of it is that as someone who really enjoys social interaction, it gives me that sense of, you know, collegiality, of having the opportunity to work with people. Because, you know, as you know, when you're standing in front of a room facilitating, you know, that's your audience, they're your participants. You're not one of them in that sense, you know, you're not their peer. And similarly, you know, working with coaching clients, we have fantastic rapport and great relationships, but we're not friends, you know, and we're not peers in that way. So it's great to have a series of, you know, of professionals around me who I can get that sort of more collegial or peer kind of relationship with too. Yeah, so that helps me feel connected. And it's great to have, you know, people to bounce ideas off.
Yep. And sort of manage some of those boundaries, if you like, some checks and balances. So you're a mum of a very, very beautiful, vibrant young lady. She is. She's just luscious and super smart. What are some of the tips, I want to suck those words back up, that you found have worked for you in terms of you managing motherhood, entrepreneurship, spinning up a new business, being a partner, a sister, a daughter, a friend? Any goals in that department?
I think that it all starts with our knowledge of ourselves and identifying our own values and our own priorities. So knowing what we want for ourselves allows us then to identify where we put our energy. And so it's that, but it's also thinking, for me, it's about thinking, what do I want my daughter to witness from me and my behaviour? What do I want her to take from watching me in the way I conduct myself? And one of my life learnings is to really believe in myself. That was the consistent theme that I got at all through school, every single report card, if only Rebecca believed in herself. And so that is something that I desperately want to instill in my daughter, is that self-belief. So I want her to see me having a passion and going for it, backing myself the way I would back her or the way I would back my best friend, and being kind to myself as well, the way I would with anybody else. So if she can see that in me, I believe that she will grow up thinking that that is what you do. And I really want that in her. I also think we need to, you know, have really quality conversations with our partners in terms of, you know, what the expectations are. I'm guilty of just expecting my partner to see what to do next in terms of, you know, my level or standard of household management. He's different. His standards are different. His expectations are different. His priorities are different. So we need to have some, you know, some proper conversations around what our expectations are of each other. And those things can be quite challenging, but, you know, they're worth having. And, you know, what we'll do to contribute to our team and our household, and how do we want to be living and conducting ourselves. So, yeah, there's, I guess, some soul searching to start with independently, and then there's some sharing of that and some mapping of that with, you know, my goals or desires for my daughter as well, in terms of what she picks up from how we operate.
Mm. And that takes time. That's not all done in the course of a weekend or a couple of weeks. Those conversations happen on and off for years and years, forever.
I mean, just like any team, you've got to like refocus and revisit, you know, mix things up.
Renegotiate.
Totally, yeah. Mm.
Now, speaking of negotiation, I happen to know that you have a bit of a challenge with your daughter happening this week.
I do.
And I picked it up on social media and threw in my two bobs worth, but it's all happening. And I think you've called it the giving up control challenge. Is that what it is?
I have.
Tell us what that's about and what it is and how you're feeling about it.
Okay, so what it is I have given my daughter the opportunity to choose my wardrobe, choose my daily outfit every day for 7 days. I've done that because of a couple of other articles I read on the same topic. One, her 7-year-old daughter chose her outfits, and one, the husband chose the outfits. And I was really intrigued by that. I am someone who is organized and quite I guess some would say fussy when it comes to, you know, appearance and things like that. And so for me, it really resonated with me, and I knew that it would be difficult for me, but I was also quite excited by it, and I thought it could be a lot of fun as well. I quickly haven't been very good at laughing at myself as I've grown up, and this is the opportunity for me just to go, hey, you know what, Libby, do your worst, pick something for me, and I'll just have to deal with that. And I'm sure that I can learn something from it. I actually wasn't sure, and I still don't know what I will take from it. Where I'm at with it right now is recognizing how I feel internally, and then contrasting that with how I feel about how I look externally. So each morning we take a photo of my outfit, and we're only on day two, so we're very early.
And how old is she?
She's nearly five.
So, a heightened fashion sense, by the sounds of things.
She's got an eye for things, I think. Yeah. But it's interesting for me to feel quite uncomfortable wearing the outfits that she's chosen for different reasons. But then to look at the outward depiction of that and think, actually, the size of my feelings aren't in line with the magnitude of the outfit. So it's not as bad as I feel that it is. And so it's just, there's something in there for me about recognizing feelings, because I absolutely believe that we need to do that. But it's about not getting too caught up in those things and not believing everything that we feel. Sometimes I think we can perhaps get some perspective and just questioning reactions. So I haven't quite understood it yet, and it's a work in progress. I'm sure the next 5 days worth of outfits will take me further along that journey. So I'm loving seeing the empowerment in my daughter. She was, you know, first thing she said to me this morning was, "Mum, I want to get started." And she's dragged the stool over to the wardrobe, and she's like, "I'm just going to have a quick look." And I was like, "Oh, darling, just remember, you know, you can, you know, take a while. You don't have to decide straight away, and make sure you have a good look." And she's just like, "No, I know what I want, Mum. It's going to be this and this." And then she tries it on just to check it out, and then she lays it out for me, and she's stoked. You know, she's loving her contribution. And she's loving the chance to make some decisions for me. I think that can only be good for her.
I'm just going to watch it and check in every day and cheer from across the waters. As you were speaking, I was reminded of the day when we were at Angkor Wat, and we were in the women's temple. Of course, the name has just escaped me. Do you remember that day? We were both, well, I can speak for myself, and I was able to observe your response, but we were quite bowled over and overwhelmed by the behaviour of tourists in that temple, which was just, I'm almost welling up, it was just an exquisite, exquisite place. And I really wished I'd been there at the crack of dawn on my own to be able to witness what it really brought. But to see the vanity and the posturing and the commentary and the endorsement of all things somewhat unfeminine and unhuman in some ways was a tough hour or two, that one, from my perspective.
And fascinating, absolutely fascinating behaviours that were exhibited and seemed to be brought out by that particular temple.
Yes, like it was dialed up. The selfies and the photos and the posing, the clothing amazing. And the outfits, it was just extraordinary. Yeah. I almost wished I had a drone to kind of hover and take surveillance of what was going on, because my mind was barely wrapping around the corners of it.
We were both struck quite quiet, which isn't normal. No, I just remember the quiet sort of pointing and the, oh my God, look at that. Can you believe this? We were just, it was like we were both, completely dumbfounded by the experience. Yes. It was pretty powerful.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. What else would you like us to know about what you're doing with mums, or maybe even a message for the mums returning to work that you may never get to meet that might be listening to this? What would you like them to know?
I think I would like them to know that the experience that they've had with their children is incredibly powerful. And if they've got any concerns about time out of the workforce because of their time with their children, to stop and think about all of the skills that they have advanced and further honed during their time with their kids. So sure, they may have been out of the professional dialogue, but they've been sharpening up other skills. And so to stand back and look at their experience from that perspective, so to start thinking about, right, well, what have I learned in terms of, you know, my negotiation skills, my time management skills, my behavior management skills, my communication ability. So all of those things that, you know, we learn to be so creative, I think, as parents. You know, we're trying to get people on board and get them across the line and, you know, shape their expectations. And like, there's so much that we can use from our experience of parenting in our professional roles. And so it's thinking about the connection with those two rather than feeling apologetic for the time that we've had with our children.
Yeah, love it. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All of my guests have the chance to ask me a question.
I had some heads up on this, Kathy. I would make my question count. I would like to know what you striving for from a, and this, feel free to tell me if this is not appropriate, what you are striving for from personal development perspective through your business?
Oh, such an epic question. I am a committed lifelong learner and I'm learning new things every day and every week. And I learned so much through my business. I spent a couple of hours last night building a document about policies and procedures, and I was reading about HR and reading about legal obligations that we have to agencies that we have agreements with. And I thought, oh, I thought that I had a bit of a handle on that, but that there was so much new stuff. So I strive to be a learner. You know, in plugging in all the stuff to record this podcast, a couple of books fell off the side of my desk, and one of them is Carol Dweck, Mindset, and the other is Jim Benson, Personal Kanban. And, you know, one is about positivity and mindset and having a growth mindset. The other one is about personal productivity. Completely different, but completely similar. So I love what I'm getting to read. I'm loving the people I'm meeting. I'm loving hearing their personal stories and their business stories. I'm loving the stuff I'm finding online, whether it for a product I'm developing or for social media content. So that personal commitment of being a lifelong learner, ticking that box on a daily sort of basis. And I guess one of the other reasons for why I do what I do is very attached to my lived experience as a business owner, is I remember how tough it is and how lonely it can be running a business and having quick growth and not managing it well and not always quite having enough money to pay for things. And I guess from a personal point of view, I want to gift my lived experience and I want to gift the people that I know and the introductions that I can make so that business owners can be more buoyant and happy and confident with what they do. And I guess if you think about happy business owners, you're going to have happy teams, happy employees, you're going to have happy clients. And I guess that spins down to the life opportunities for the kids with different needs that is sort of in my niche that I serve. So, in some ways, business is incredibly selfish and incredibly selfless.
Yeah, I agree with that.
If you understand how they play together and play a part, I suspect I'm still learning that piece because they can get quite enmeshed and hard to differentiate. But I'm having a good old time.
Excellent. That's what I like to hear. Super stuff.
Thank you for joining us. How about you have the last word and shout out about your website and where that's up to and where people can find you and encourage them to follow you on social media. I just love your Facebook.
You can find me on backtoworkcoach.com as well as on Facebook. So Facebook's where I've been spending most of my time. So just looking for the Back to Work Coach on Facebook and also on LinkedIn under Rebecca Fraser. So by all means, do just say good day. It'd be lovely to touch base with you no matter where you are. So and to hear some of the things perhaps that are providing challenges for you at the moment. So have a look on Facebook and see what sort of articles resonate, and also check out the outfits of the day. Yes. So only on day two, we've got another 5 days of gold.
Oh.
And I'm thinking about inviting my husband to do the next 7 days after Libby's finished. So, yeah, if nothing else, I will have explored the depths of my wardrobe back to front, side to side, and I'm sure I'll
have inside out
more inspiration.
Oh, I suspect by the time this episode goes live, that epic project might have kind of been and gone, but you might be there'll be something else.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Rebecca Fraser. Lovely, lovely as always to talk with you. And I think you might be writing some blogs for us and things as well.
Absolutely.
So, we'll get to hear from you and read your awesome in weeks to come. Thank you.
Okay.
See you later.
Okay. Bye.
A big thank you for investing your time right through the end of this episode of Private Practice Secrets. We hope you really enjoyed the conversation. There's lots more just like it waiting for your listening ears. If you're running a private practice and keen for some more business know-how and confidence, head on over to my website, nakerconsulting.com.au. There you'll find business resources and inspiration. There's blogs, forms, templates. There's information about our conferences, workshops, web events, and more. While you're there, you're warmly invited to book yourself in for a free 30-minute coaching session. Let's find some solutions to your current business challenges. And yes, you are more than welcome to pick my brains. My business has a weird name, but it has a cool story. You can read about that when you're on the website. But let me spell it for you now. nacre.com.au. Thank you for listening to Private Practice Secrets. I'm Kathy Love, Allied Health Business Coach, wishing you and your business a brilliant day.